13. Hope that everybody is lifted up. And I think just the songs that we've been singing, I hope and pray that it's done that for you, that it's encouraged you. As you think about the words that we have sung, just in the hymn before, we try to picture that home in heaven and what that day would be like when we're able to get there and to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, whether it is a mansion or a room, whatever it is God has truly prepared for us there. It's definitely wonderful to imagine. I have brought out in previous lessons and other lessons before, and I know I believe I've done one recently, on the point of each of us having different gifts, different abilities. We all need to be doing our part. Went and talked about in 1 Corinthians and chapter 12 and read through there how we are all one body but many members, and how we can't sit here and say just because I'm not the eye doesn't make me a part of the body, or I'm not the arm, or I'm not the fingers, I'm not the foot. We each have our part. We also have Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4 and verse 11, which says, And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come in unity and faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and a perfect man for the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so we bring out how we are all in a point or another unique. We are all different. We all have our part. Some are preachers, some are song leaders, some are prayer leaders, some are good at teaching Bible class, teaching the young ones, teaching other ages, or one-on-one studies, or sending out cards, or phone calling, or visiting, or helping. We all have our certain part. As we, this time of year, though, we haven't got a ton. You know, a snowflake is supposed to be, each one is supposed to be different than the other. Each is unique. And just as we are ourselves. But what I want to ask this morning is, you might go through those lessons, you might read this passage here in Ephesians, you might go through 1 Corinthians and say, yeah, that's right for most parts, but not me. You might get caught up in saying, I don't have anything to offer to the kingdom of God. You might sit there and tell yourself that. And I just really want to ask that question, am I an exception? Are you an exception? Are you truly any different than the rest of us? Are you any different to the point that you this doesn't apply to you? That the Word of God, as we read it, we study it, we think about God's grace and His love, we think about forgiveness, we think about sin, and we ask that question, are you an exception? To the point that, yes, we are all different, but when it comes down to certain things, we're all the same. That there is no exception when it comes to certain things, as we can point out that there's nothing new under the sun. So I hope that you open up your Bibles and follow along as we ask this question in a few points this morning. The first one I want to ask is, am I an exception in being created by God? Was I created by God? Am I a creation of our Lord's? As we go to Genesis chapter 1, we read about creation. We read about when He made man and woman. We read here in Genesis 1, verse 26 and verse 27, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His image. In the image of God, He created them male and female. He created them. Now we can go to chapter 2. We read more in detail about it, how God created man from the dust of the earth, how God breathed life into Adam. And then as He put Adam in the garden and had Adam go forth and name all the creatures that were up on the earth, He looked down at Adam and said, there is no mate that is helpful, that is comparable to him. I will make him a helpmate. And so God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He took a rib, created Eve, and they were married. And so I ask, is it any different? Are we any different? Is any of us not created in the image of God? We are each created in the image of God. We have each been blessed with the breath of life. We have each been formed by our God. In Psalm 139, The 139th Psalm, if you turn along with me there, turn along there and read with me in verse 13. Psalm 139, 139, and in verse 13. And it reads here, it says, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb." Again, and to that point, that as we read that, that God knows you before you were born. And He formed you and created you, again, to that uniqueness that you are, that you have your own DNA, you have your own fingerprints that are different than everybody else's. And that, yes, God can use you. God created you. You are not unique from anyone else, and to the point that you appeared here differently than anyone else. We all came in the way in which God has designed us. We were all created by our God. So are you an exception? Are you an exception to what we read throughout the Scripture? Are you an exception to that you've never sinned? Or maybe that you've sinned more than anyone else ever? Or that you've done something so much that cannot be forgiven? Are you the exception to sin? Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 there tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone has. Every one of us has sinned. Anyone that has come to that age, not to say that there's an age limit there, but anyone that's come to the knowledge, the understanding of right and wrong, just as Adam and Eve, when they were in the Garden of Eden, and they ate of that fruit, of the tree of knowledge, they came to that point of understanding right and wrong. They came to the understanding, I did something wrong. We are naked. We need to clothe ourselves. Here comes God. We need to hide ourselves because we are naked, because we have done something wrong. We went against His word. They understood it. We all come to that point at some point or another. Different ages for different people. We come to that age where we know right and wrong. We know when we have sinned. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Or if you might read verse 9 there in Romans 3, it says, "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin." Again, no one's better than the other. Jew's not better than Greek. Man's not better than woman. Race, color, does not matter. Language you speak does not change. We've all sinned. We have all fallen short. Are you the exception? Are you the exception to what we read about with sin? In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, again, does sin affect you the same way? Absolutely. We all face the same consequence when it comes to sin. In Romans 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The wages of sin is death. Again, that's been the same thing since the beginning, and it has not changed for you. That we go to Genesis chapter 2, and when God put Adam in the garden, and He told them not to eat, told him not to eat of that tree, or you shall surely die. When Eve was questioned by the serpent in chapter 3, questioned by the devil, did God really say this? And she says, well, He said, we shall surely die. She knew what God had said. Consequences have not changed. We separate ourselves from God when we sin, when we fall short. We spiritually die, choosing fleshly desires over the spiritualness, over God, over His commands that He has given to us. And when we do, and we have not repented of that sin yet, we have not asked for forgiveness of that sin yet, then we have sin that is separating us, that is spiritually killed us. It's not unique to anyone. It's something that we all face, we all have done. You're not the exception. You're not the exception when it comes to forgiveness either. To salvation. That you've done something so terrible that you can't be forgiven. That you have sinned so many times that you can't be forgiven. Or that you've got a sin in your life that you cannot overcome.
Understand, you're not the exception.
God says that he can forgive you. God says he loves you. God says he can help you overcome these temptations. And he speaks to you. He speaks to me. I'm not an exception. He can do that for you. He can do that for me. John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loves the world. He loves us all. He wants everyone. As we can turn to 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, where it tells us the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is why he's blessed us with today. He's given us another opportunity in his love, in his patience, to examine your life and to repent of your sins. Again, you're not the exception. Anyone that he loves, he chastens. He wants you to repent. He wants you to be saved. He desires all to be saved. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for everyone. When Jesus sent out his disciples after he, right there before he ascends up into heaven after his resurrection, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Matthew 28 and verse 19. You turn along there with me. As it reads here, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. He says, go and teach it and make disciples of all nations, everywhere. They didn't say stay in Jerusalem and only teach those of the Jews. He did not say stay in this region, don't ever cross the sea. He says, go out and preach it to all. We might look in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 15. As it reads there, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, are you the exception? Am I the exception that salvation does not reach? God desires everyone to repent. He desires all to be forgiven. You're not the exception. God can forgive you. The blood of Christ that was shed on that cross, that was shed as he was scourged, as he was beat, as he had nails punctured his hands and he was nailed to that cross, that can wash your sins away. There's nothing that you have done so many times that you can't be forgiven. There's nothing that you have done that is unforgivable. And again, we have examples through the Word of God that show us how bad someone can be and still be forgiven. We can look at David, King David, a man after God's own heart, is how we talk about him, how the Word of God refers to him. And yet we know that he got caught up in lust, and he got caught up in adultery, and he got caught up in lying, he got caught up with murder. And yet he could be forgiven and be counted as a man of faith. Nothing that you can't do, that you cannot be forgiven for, that you cannot overcome. David was able to repent of that. David was able to live on faithfully to the Lord. The Apostle Paul, we know that he was there when Stephen was stoned to death. He made a havoc of the Lord's church, getting permission to drag Christians out and take them back to jail. But he did not sin so much in being there when people were killed, in dragging the members of the Lord's church to jail, that he cannot be forgiven. That he cannot turn the other direction and repent of his sins and start following the Lord and start preaching the truth. He was not the exception. David was not the exception. Whatever you have done in your life is not the exception. You can be forgiven. We can all be forgiven. You're not the exception to the point that Jesus wouldn't leave come and find me. Matthew chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. Matthew chapter 18. When you read there, starting in verse 10, it says, Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you, that in heaven the angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does not leave the 99 and go to the mountain to seek that one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So what we're reading here, what we're saying, is that though God has many children that are right with Him right now, He has those who are faithful, who have repented of their sins, that has asked for forgiveness when they do fall short, and they are right with Him, He's still upset that you have not obeyed the gospel. Though He has many others that are right in the sight, that have died right in His sight, that are in paradise right now with Abraham, His heart still sorrows for those who have yet to obey. And He is trying to pierce your heart with His word so that you will repent of your sins, so that you will allow His grace to come upon you, so that you will be saved and have that home, that mansion in heaven. You're not the exception. He wants you to be saved, and He will rejoice. The angels will rejoice. We will rejoice if you can make that decision to obey the gospel. Are you the exception to when it comes to judgment? Are you going to be the exception that won't have to face death and judgment? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9. And in verse 27, it says, And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of men. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. For those who eagerly wait for Him, do you eagerly wait for Him? Have you accepted His calling? Once again, He offered Himself up so that your sins could be forgiven, so that He can redeem you, a special people, a special priesthood, zealous for good works. But understand, that day is closer than any of us know. We can't, you know, I know the brethren here know of a young man who passed away recently. They were talking about it before we started services. We just don't know how much time we have. We are all appointed to die once, and after that we will face judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 10 says here, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." Again, here speaking to the wrath, to those who are in sin. "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are all well known to God. I also trust are well known in your conscience." He says, this is why we go out. This is why we plead with one another. This is why we're willing to put it out there that we're gathered together. This is why we want to speak up when someone has a question. Is because we know that there is a hell. That there is a punishment. But we also know that God doesn't want to punish anyone. He does not take pleasure in punishing anyone. And he desires all to repent. He desires all to be saved. And so he sends out his workers, you and I, to go out and to plead with others so that their sins will be forgiven, so that they will turn to God, so that he can forgive them. And there's no one that is the exception. We should go out to all. And if you're here this morning, you've yet to obey the gospel. You've yet to be baptized to wash away your sins. We encourage you to do that this morning. Not to delay any longer. To accept that God loves you and he wants you to be saved. To accept and acknowledge, be willing to admit that you've fallen short, that you yourself have struggled. Because we all have. We all need his strength. And again, there's not a temptation out there that we cannot overcome if we put our faith in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So if there is temptation that you are facing, whether it's pride, lust, lying, drunkenness, any temptation, any sin, you can overcome. It's not a new sin. It's not something that no one else has ever went through. It's not a new temptation that no one else has faced. It's a temptation that is common to man. I'm not saying everyone has faced that temptation. But someone else has. Others have. And better yet, God knows how to help you overcome that temptation. So if you'll give your life over to him, if you need the prayers of the congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, please let it be known as you stay in the sanctuary.